From the City of Angels near the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be, across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie, and welcome to Coast AM. Later on, America's Most Haunted. Here's what's happening. Well, a story I am sure you have heard about by now, Ebola. In the United States, the Ebola patient being treated in Texas told authorities that he flew part of his trip on United Airlines. The airline believes the patient flew from Brussels to Washington Dulles and then from Dulles to Dallas-Fort Worth just a few days ago. The patient, his name is Thomas Eric Duncan. He's a Liberian national. He's 42 years old. This was his first trip to the United States. What a trip it is, where he was visiting family and friends. Now, some 20 people may have been exposed to him. That doesn't mean they've got Ebola, but they were exposed to him. Parents, by the way, rushed and got their children from school after learning that five students may have had contact with this patient in a Dallas hospital. So they're panicking there. And the death toll from the world's worst Ebola outbreak on record has reached now 3,338 people out of 7,178 cases in West Africa alone. Let's check in with the researcher and the noted author, Christian Wild, who's been doing some research on Ebola for us. Christian, first of all, this Liberian who came into the United States, can we really accurately say that Ebola came to the United States and was formed here? You know, this is like those two American workers who came into the country who had Ebola, isn't it?
Yeah, very much. You know, this virus has been around since 1976. On the downside, George, I'm going to give you some what I hope is a little bit of positive news, but I'm going to give you the good, bad, and the ugly in less than 2 minutes.
You got it.
Okay, on the downside, Sierra Leone is under indefinite medical martial law with a predicted 1.4 million deaths by January of next year. This is a viral disease, and individuals with Ebola hemorrhagic fever, as it's the proper name, are losing their blood's ability to coagulate and clot.
Jeez.
A patient with Ebola literally bleeds out through their veins, vessels, and their organs. It's not a pretty picture, George. And it is reportedly able to kill up to 90% of its victims. With the Ebola virus, there is some concern. It was fueled by New York's Time magazine newspaper just a few days ago. The CDC's director of research warned that there is a real consideration that the virus might one day mutate and be airborne. However, that has not happened as of this date, and it didn't happen with the AIDS virus, which was also a big fear of going airborne back in 1981 when the first AIDS patient was identified in America. Ironically, what I have learned from the research I've done, because there was such a tremendous effort made in treating HIV, it may be helpful in treating Ebola. A doctor in Africa, desperate to help his dying patients, began injecting antiviral AIDS drugs into 15 patients. George, 13 of the 15 have survived. But I think the best news in the short term is that three patients who had become infected with the Ebola are now free of their disease, having been treated with a combination of a drug therapy and blood donated from a previously infected Ebola patient.
Now, what do we tell people, though, Christian, who might be panicking about this Ebola situation in Dallas?
Well, it's a little early. I know as we come into the flu season, the same symptoms are going to mimic Ebola.
Oh, great.
So you don't want to panic, people. And it is a word of caution that if somebody in your family has been exposed to possibly the Ebola virus and they're suddenly showing symptoms, and another thing, if you have the virus, until you show the symptoms, you're not going to be passing that on to other people. But it is interesting that as we get into into the flu season, the symptoms will be very similar.
Well, we're going to track this story, Christian, and of course, I need you to continue doing your homework on it. In Rhode Island, Rhode Island Health Department says that a child has died from complications of that very unusual respiratory virus that's been affecting children across the country. Health officials say that the 10-year-old girl died last week of a staph infection associated with the enterovirus 68 infection, very rare. Measuring people's sense of smell in later life could help doctors predict just how likely they are to be alive in 5 years' time. A survey of 3,000 adults found that 39% with the poorest sense of smell were dead within 5 years, compared to just 10% who identified odors correctly. Now, scientists say the loss of smell does not cause death directly, but maybe an early warning sign. In Washington, Julia Pearson, the first female director of the Secret Service, has quit in the aftermath of a fence jumper gaining access to the White House and a subsequent congressional inquiry uncovering other security lapses. Stocks declined sharply, with the fourth quarter starting off on a sour note as investors, scared of global concerns, mixed U.S. economic data and earnings reports. Let's check in with the expert, the trends researcher, Gerald Celente. Well, didn't start off the way they wanted it, Gerald.
No, it's not. It's not only the United States. Take a look right now as we speak in Asia. The Nikkei is down over 2%. The Hang Seng down almost 1.3%. And what you really have to look at, George, here is oil prices. Oil is telling the story. We're looking at oil prices back to 2012 levels. And when you look at what's going on with it, you're seeing that demand for oil, according to the International Energy Agency, is down. It's the weakest since 2011. So you go back to Asia, take a look at China. Housing prices are barely going up. There's an estimated 70 million luxury Chinese apartments that they can't sell. So the bubble is bursting worldwide. They're concerned that they're going to be raising interest rates, and the record low interest rates are the only thing that have kept this global Ponzi scheme going. So it looks like it's about to burst.
We will watch it. Gerald Celente has been spot on with many of his trends research reports. So far this week, solar activity has been low. However, there are five sunspots on the solar disk poised to break the quiet. Forecasters are estimating a 65% chance of an M-class solar flare and then a 15% chance of the biggie, the X flare. More than 900 chickens at a California farm were beaten to death with a golf club. The gruesome scene discovered at the Foster Farms chicken shed in Fresno. Authorities believe at least one person broke into the farm and slaughtered the chickens. As Jimmy Church revealed on his radio show several months ago, a massive underwater entrance has been discovered off of Malibu, California, off the coast, which appears to be the holy grail of UFO researchers that have been looking for it and over it over the last 40 years. The plateau is 1.35 miles by 2.45 miles wide. It's 6.66, ominous number, by the way, miles from land, and the entrance between the support pillars is 2,745 feet wide and 630 feet tall. In a moment, we will have Jimmy Church with us to talk about this. We've got pictures on the coasttocoastam.com website of the structure. Jimmy's next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, I'm George Norrie. Jimmy Church is the host of Fade to Black. That's a late-night talk show covering many of the things we covered: UFOs, paranormal, fringe science. Jimmy is also one of the researchers that brought that Malibu story to the public back several months ago. And the revolution was his sports program. He changed formats to Fade to Black, and that was launched around 2013. He's on the Dark Matter Radio Network now. He was, when he was doing sports, broke the Jerry Sandusky story from Pennsylvania University, State University, which was probably one of the biggest sports stories to break in a long time. Welcome to Coast to Coast, Jimmy Church. Hey, Jimmy, how are you?
Hey, George, how are you?
I'm looking forward to that structure. I've been looking at these pictures ever since you broke this story, and it is weird. What do you think it is?
Well, its location is what makes it what it is. With all of the sightings and videos and everything that have gone on in that area, it's probably one of the most UFO active sites, if not the United States, the world. And so when this popped up, where it did is kind of what made it what it is. We've been looking for this, not only myself, but other researchers, been looking up and down the coast for this underwater base for years, and we found it.
What made you even think there might be a base under there somewhere? So let's start looking.
Originally, we got an image that was sent to Fade to Black from one of our listeners. His name was Maxwell. And he just sent me this image and with a note in the email, "Jimmy, this is something strange off of the coast of Malibu." And I immediately turned it over to my producers here, who are graphics experts, and we got under the water and started looking at it. And immediately, the first thing, I just had Preston Dennett on the show, and you know Preston well. And with all of his research, and I had Bill Burns on too as well, and with all of the research that has been going up and down the coast, we had just been talking about it. And it's one of those synchronicity moments where you just go, aha, here it is. And the way that it looked with the pillars and the platform, it just didn't match the surrounding terrain, and it looked like the entrance to a giant parking garage.
It really does. It looks covered in seabed sand, but it's really strange. Now, here's the question, Jimmy. If it's some kind of artificial formation of some type, any idea how long it's been down there?
That is okay. This is our recent research, and that's one of the best questions that you can ask. Is this the last ice age? We're looking at 10,000 to 12,000 years ago. Our original research pointed to this structure being about 1,500 to 2,000 feet under the water to the top of the platform. Our new research and all of the topography studies that we have now point to, and this is from government websites and topology studies, now show it about 150 feet to the top of the platform. Our original research and data was incorrect, and it wasn't due to our research. It was the information given to us from geographical studies done by agencies. So once we found this out, suddenly that puts this structure, at least the top half of it, above the water 10,000 years ago.
Wow.
Now, isn't that
It
interesting?
sure is. Has anybody tried to go down there with remote submersibles, little submarines, anything?
Exactly. We're working on that now. I was actually on the phone today, working on the arrangements of getting that done. Has anybody done it yet? No. I will say this. About 2 months ago, we went out in a plane and flew over the base. And this is what happened, George. It was one of the most unbelievable moments that one could have when you're doing this type of research.
Yeah.
Where we have our course plotted in GPS in the plane, and we flew out of El Monte, Southern California. We flew out over Santa Monica and then up north up the coast. And the plot that we had marked was the entrance directly between the two main pillars, okay, on the south side of the entrance. And we're approaching the base. Now, my panoramic view of the Pacific Ocean is empty ocean. I could see for miles in all directions in the plane. And we're slowly approaching the X on the GPS. And the pilot turns to me, Steve, and says, "Jimmy, what is that?" And I look out, into the empty ocean, and right at the X on our GPS is a dive boat. A dive boat, which we videotaped. It was more like a dive ship, I'm going to guess and say, maybe 100 foot. And we circle the ship, and we videotape, and we take pictures. And it's right there. It's all alone in the ocean. There's not another boat for miles. But there it was, directly above the base. And we could see a couple of divers off the side of the boat and people assisting them. We circled them for about 15 minutes. I'm sure we freaked them out pretty good.
Jimmy, how in the world does Google Earth spot some of these things?
Well, it's done by sonar. There's a certain amount of satellite imagery that is done, too, and it's a combination of the both. But all of that mapping that you see, not only with our images, but with Google in general, is done by sonar. Now, I will say this. We here at Fade to Black, we burned our eyes out looking up and down every single coastline of every continent on Earth, looking for something that looks like this. We needed to, you know, have something to compare it to. If there's something else that looks like this somewhere else, well, then possibly it's natural, mm-hmm. which is okay.
Sure.
If it's natural, it's still a heck of a discovery. But we can't find, we cannot repeat this. We haven't been able to replicate it. We haven't found anything that looks even remotely close to this.
I mean, the columns, the pillars that
right.
that you can see on part of the side shot, truly unbelievable. I mean, you know what it kind of looks like to me? It looks like some kind of a stadium that was built thousands of years ago with a dome, and somehow it got submerged.
It doesn't look like it fits in anything nature has created, does it?
No, not at all. Or a huge pie pan upside down.
You know? Well, one of the things, it was always a theory that maybe this was some kind of an arena. But if we go back to antiquity, and we go back into history, and let's say that this was a natural formation that's 10,000 years old, it was above the ocean.
Yeah.
If that's the case, and it is an underwater river that is feeding, across the United States, that's significant right there in of itself. It's a way to traverse the country. And it's a way to access points inland. And if that's what it is, that is significant. And certainly we use rivers to navigate everything. And that's what possibly this could have been used for. Also, and one of the things that can't be denied, is its location to Magoo, Wainimi, China Lake, Area 51. There have been rumors of underground caves and systems across the United States for a long time. And this could be the access point to all of that. It's proximity to Magoo and Wainimi and China Lake. It's something that can't be denied.
It's bizarre. When Maxwell made his call to you, what did you first think?
Well, you know, I had a deja vu moment. That's funny that you asked that because I really haven't shared this with too many people. But when I first opened the image, and it was very close to the image that you have here on Coast to Coast, I was looking at it from the top view.
Mm-hmm.
I had this image in my mind of the pillars. I hadn't seen the pillars yet. We hadn't done that investigation of the front of the entrance outlined with like a yellow dash outline of the pillars. And that flashed in my mind about an hour later as we started to do this research and I saw the front view. You know, you've seen the images.
Right.
I couldn't believe what I was seeing. And I knew right then it was significant. I knew it. I knew that it was, when we say Holy Grail, and I appreciate that, but it's exactly what this type of research needs, and it could be exactly that. We haven't had anything, George. The last time something like this has happened for you, for ufology, for everything that we do, your show, my show, other shows like ours, is Area 51.
That's right.
We haven't had anything since
then. Yeah, this is huge. Jimmy, stay with us. We're going to come back in a moment and take some phone calls with you. Plus, let's talk about what's hot in the paranormal world and what are people listening to and what do they want to hear these days. Jimmy Church with us. He's got his own radio program called Fade to Black. His website linked up at coasttocoastam.com. I'm George Norrie, and we will be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And Skype is now up and running, so take advantage of that. And welcome back to Coast with our guest this hour, Jimmy Church. He hosts his own show called Fade to Black, which you can hear on the Dark Matter Radio Network. And Jimmy, how do people find you? Through your website?
Yeah, you can go to Dark Matter. You can go to my website, jimmychurchradio.com. We broadcast four nights a week, right before your show, as you know. From 7 to 10.
Super, super. When you made the switch from sports to the unusual, as I'll say, how was that transition for you?
It was easy. It was definitely, for me, coming out of the closet. In that it was, I've always been a researcher. I've always read. I've always listened, you know, to you and Art and all of the late night, you know,
yeah.
John Neville. You know, I was a big fan of that. And I just was at the end of sports. I didn't want to do it anymore. I wanted to do this. So the transition was very easy. And I was lucky to be put in the position that I was put in so quickly with that kind of audience. But I'm happy every night. We just ended the show. As you know, a few minutes ago, I haven't left the studio. I'm on with you tonight, and I couldn't be happier. Life is perfect.
It's energy. I met Jimmy and his lovely wife at Contact in the Desert in August, and you've got a great following there, Jimmy. They love you.
Hey, George, I interrupted your luncheon. You have the following. But, yeah, you know, and that's a good point. Contact in the Desert, to get there and see literally thousands of people that want to learn and were there for the same reason. And the vibe that was there, it was everywhere, wasn't it?
Oh, it sure was. You could feel it. It was hot.
It was hot.
You know, we're out there. We did a panel out there where it was just, oh, my gosh, it must have been 100 degrees.
I heard they're going to move it back to May now, so it'll be 5 degrees cooler next year.
Good. Let's take some calls in the time we have remaining. We'll go to Rob, truck driving in Missouri. Welcome to the program, Rob. Go ahead.
Hey, good evening, guys. It's awesome to talk to you.
Thanks for joining us.
I've got two things real quick. First thing, we need to get Dark Matter back on the air for 3 hours before your show starts on satellite radio. I would love to have that back. Second thing is, when you were talking about an upside-down pie pan, all I could think of was ship. What if it was a ship, a huge ship that landed there 12,000 years ago?
Now, that's an interesting take, Jimmy. Thanks, Roy. What do you think of that, a ship that's upside down?
Exactly. We're going to be out there. I promise everybody we will be making the announcements here very soon. We're going to get out there. We've got the boat lined up. We've got the gear lined up, a documentary crew to film the Coast Guard coming up as they try to stop us. But we're going to get down there. We're going to find out. I don't know. I know what I'm hoping for. I'm hoping for an entrance. I'm hoping for a cave or something that goes and continues inland. I hope that we can see that with the ROVs that we've got lined up. But we will find out whether it's natural or whether it's man-made. It doesn't really matter. The discovery itself is significant. If it's natural and aliens or the United States Navy have been taking advantage of it, we need to know. If it is man-made, that is just as significant. And we are going to find out, George.
What if it's an underground tunnel under California and there's a city down there somewhere?
Wouldn't that be great?
Oh, my gosh.
Well, you know, the rumors have been going around about this forever, and so many books have been written, and finally, it looks like we found it.
Well, see, that's an interesting take, because the rumors have been going on way before there was Google Earth.
Right.
How did they do this? Somebody must have seen something. Maybe that structure, as you said, that was above water.
Exactly. And the thing is, with Google Earth launched in 2006. These images were there then. Hundreds of thousands of people a month are looking at the California coast and Google Earth for fun. Okay, and they've been looking over this and looking, and nobody has paused and taken notice. I you know, Robert Stanley certainly noticed it. A few other researchers over the years have noticed it, but they weren't able to take it one step further. And I will stop at nothing until we figure this out. And what's strange, George, is how mass media has treated this. As you know, ABC News came out and did a story on this and interviewed me here at the studio. And they promised me, and I'm not bad-mouthing ABC News. It's just how mass media treats ufology and UFOs. And they promised that it would be a straight story. And in the end, they crack a joke at the end.
Of course.
You know, and it just frustrates all of us.
Let's go to Francine, first-time caller in Los Angeles. Hi, Francine. Welcome to the program.
Hi, George. Hello, Mr. Church.
How are you?
I was calling because being brought up in California, I don't know if you know, but there is such a high instance of people who mysteriously go missing.
Yes.
In this particular area of water. Now, this happened to someone I worked with. This isn't a story of a friend of a friend of a friend. This is a man who was in business, and he had two sons, twin boys. And I know right when it happened, it was in the late 80s, and they were boaters, these young men. They were in their mid-20s. They would go out to Catalina almost every weekend, and this one weekend they were heading out together with one of them was in front of the other, each had a boat, like one of those, I guess, I don't know about boats with, you know, with the engine and stuff like that. Well, the one brother signaled to the other brother, look over this way. He couldn't hear him, but he saw his brother pointing at something. So he just waved at his brother and kept going. Well, the other brother veered off, and I mean, if you know California, there are days in California where there's no wind, there's not a cloud in the sky. Well, to get to the end of the story, he was lost. And I mean, they never found a piece of wood from his boat.
Just everything gone. Gone.
He disappeared in the middle of the day. Like he was swallowed up by the ocean. And this is not someone who was a novice. This is not someone who ran into a storm. They were going to Catalina Island. That's 26 miles. Now, you can't swim that. But where did his boat go? They launched a huge search for him and were never able to come up with anything. And it literally broke this man. I know his name. I mean, I don't want to say it over the air because this was a tragedy to these people.
Oh, sure.
But this is just the beginning of the story. My cousin also just had two members of the Navy that the same thing happened to. So off of the coast, the west coast of California all the way up, to the Canadian border, there are people that are disappearing.
Jimmy, have you heard this?
The earth, but it's off the face of the ocean.
Let's check in with Jimmy here, Francine. Have you heard of this, Jimmy? People are disappearing?
This is the strange thing, is I get probably 20 or 30 emails every single day with reports of not only activity like this, Robert Stanley has got a couple of pretty strange incidents that he personally went through too, as well, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
And these reports are constant. I was just speaking. I was a guest at a Conscious Life Expo over the weekend at LAX, as you know, George.
Sure.
And the hands that popped up with people that wanted to tell stories about what has been going on between Magoo and Point Doom right there in Malibu, it's crazy. It's in the hundreds, if not the thousands. And I had a lady that stood up and showed us a video. It was a packed house. Showed us a video that they shot 2 days ago of lights between Point Magoo and Point Doom, a triangle, three white lights. It's a tremendous video, and it was just shot. Unless you're from California and from Malibu, you just don't understand the amount of activity that has gone on there. You've heard these reports, but of everybody else around the United States, they just don't quite get what we're trying to say.
I'm trying to vision a craft over the boat, just beaming it up, and there's nothing they can do about it. And then it's gone. They take it and they leave.
I got an email last week from somebody in the Navy that is currently in the Navy, a careerman, and had a pretty strange story too, very similar to that. And they were about 6 miles offshore. And of course, we know that this base is sitting, you know, just about 6 miles, 6 point, you said it yourself, 6.6, I don't like saying it, 6.66 miles.
It's weird.
Yeah, that's a weird number. And it's also where the base sits. If you look, it's right in the middle of Doom and Point Magoo, which are two famous landmarks here in California. But it forms a strange triangle. And you have the crest of the mountain right there where the Indians went up, and there's all kinds of carvings up there on the rocks. And it's a very significant spot here in California, and it sits right in the middle of it.
Let's go to Mike, Dayton, Ohio, east of the Rockies. Mike, you're on with Jimmy Church on Coast to Coast. Go ahead.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, Mike.
I was a while back when they first started showing the images of this underwater structure on the, you know, the news and the internet. I went looking for it myself on Google Earth, and I couldn't find it. But in the process of looking all up and down the coast, I started noticing all the old, these old river valleys that come off of the West Coast. You know, you could follow them to where, you know, the current rivers are now. And I was thinking, man, I noticed these had to be old river valleys, and the water has really come up significantly since these were carved. And I haven't heard anybody put this theory through or this idea out yet, that if this is, you know, could be a temple maybe. And, you know, we know, you know, back, say, the, you know, the Egyptians, their pyramids, they, you know, they've been, we all know they're a lot older than 6,000-7,000 years old. They're, you know, they were probably around, what, 10,000 BC. And you're saying that the water levels along the West Coast would have been down to where about this structure is now?
And it was probably popping up above water.
Yeah. And what I was thinking was maybe this might be a temple. And, you know, those ancient cultures back then, they were, you know, primarily sun-worshipping-based cultures. If this might have been possibly a temple for some ancient sun-worshipping culture, and it, you know, due to it facing the west where, the setting sun.
Well, that's a good theory, Mike. And you know what? We won't know until we go. That's for sure. Michael Cremo, of course, Jimmy, as you know, has said that civilizations are much older than people think. So let's just assume that this is a million-year-old civilization that built something on what was then land or sticking out of the water. Who knows?
Well, that's one of the best points that we can address, and that is civilizations have come and gone. Michael Cremo makes that point about as well as anybody. But civilizations have come and gone, and we're probably just one that has just started, you know, 10,000 years ago, and here we are today. But the one thing that we can look at when we look at the images is we can look at pillars and something that looks very temple-ish. It doesn't look like, unlike anything else that the Greeks or the Egyptians, the Romans, it just looks very familiar to us. It doesn't look foreign. I think that's one of the best points that we can drive home.
And it doesn't look natural, that's for sure.
No, it doesn't. There are some carved caves over in Turkey called Longyu. And when you look at those images of those caves, the pillars on the inside aren't perpendicular. They're not at 90 degrees to the earth. And you look at that and you look at the Malibu base, and it's a head scratcher. If that doesn't look familiar, you know, it just looks like something that we've been doing all along, which is a roof supported by pillars. Every parking garage you pull into, George, looks like that, the Malibu base.
Sure does. Let's go to Tony out there in Granada Hills, California. Hi, Tony. Good to have you with us.
Hi, you guys.
Good.
Yeah, I was out there camping. Can you guys hear me?
Yep, sure can.
Yeah, I was out there camping for the three-day weekend, the last one we had.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's really crazy because I seen a formation of boats out there, of ships. And I couldn't believe the coincidence because, and, you know, I know what you say about coincidence, George. You say
they're not there.
You know,
yeah,
they're not coincidence most of the time. So we were camping out there, and I seen a formation of maybe 4 to 6 boats, right? And they were, like, really lit up. And I was talking to somebody that I was camping with, and we were, you know, just standing there on the, you know, right where the waves come. And we were looking at him, and we're like, that's crazy how they're probably military. I'm like, no, they're probably just fishermen, you know? But they were just too perfectly spaced out, you know? Like, it was perfect space, but the lights were, like, really bright. And they were out there all day and all night.
Jimmy, is there any piracy out there in the Catalina Island area?
That's actually a good point. The one thing that I do want to have happen, well, I want to have two things happen. I want to be able to get the ROVs under the water and videotape an entrance. That's the first thing. The second alternative here, George, is to get arrested. Is to have a pirate pull up and tell us that we can't do what we're doing. We shouldn't be there. To have the Coast Guard or the Navy pull up and force us out of there. As strange as that seems, being denied access to that area from pirates or the Navy or the Coast Guard. Or as some other, you know, three-letter agency that would stop
it. Yeah,
us,
that would give
would
you
speak volume.
Sure would.
And then we would have to turn to them and say, why can't we?
What does your gut tell you that it might be, Jimmy?
My gut is that it is an entrance to a river that is going inland that was celebrated 10,000 years ago, 12,000 years ago, or 50,000 years ago, it was covered, and that's what I think. I think it is an entrance to a river. That's something that we have been taking advantage of. This is, George, a submarine can pass through those pillars.
No question. That's right.
Or two or three. And if we could do that, wouldn't our Navy take advantage of that?
They could be stationed down there.
They could be stationed down there. It could be a fleet.
I love it. Jimmy, thanks for being on the program. We'll talk with you later.
George, all the best.
Jimmy Church, Fade to Black, is his radio show. When we come back in just a moment, kind of a pre-Halloween moment, as we talk about America's Most Haunted, right here on Coast to Coast AM.